Okay, welcome back as we get rolling into hour number two on this Friday night. More and more stories coming out all the time about the COVID bioweapon death injection, about the actual virus itself made in the laboratory. It's a virus, and the things that it does to people, even if they've only had it once, twice, if they had it three times, things are compounding in your body. You just don't necessarily feel it, but bad things are showing up. The number of people dying in this country is enormous. Around the world, it's enormous. It's being hidden. For those of you who are new to this program, most of you who aren't know full well how easily it is to control the narrative, i.e. control reality, when you own the media. And that's how they do it. They just, we don't report on that. All right, let's find out if there's a young lady sitting. Are you over in the corner again? You got to stop that. I miss you. I look around the room. I don't see you. And then I look in the corner, and there you are, minding your own business. I know. All right. Well, come on out. Join the fun. All right. She really is shy, too. Okay. Here's another. I just read these things, and it makes me sick. This is Vermont. State injects six-year-old despite parents' explicit refusal. Court shrugs. Vermont parents Dario and Shugen Politella in November 2021 explicitly warned the school where their six-year-old child attended that he is not to receive the experimental gene therapy marketed as a vaccine. An unidentified worker at the school's vaccination clinic gave the shot to the kid anyway. By mistake, they say. So the parents filed suit in court, and the court did nothing. We've seen this. It's just awful. Everywhere you look, the war on children almost decertifies Homo sapiens as being a competent species. Well, the war on children is going to actually remove Homo sapien from the planet, if it goes much worse. We're at an all-time low birth rate in America right now. Good luck if you're white and trying to start a family. You've got a lot of obstacles to consider and to overcome, many of them. So it's really just crazy out there.
Yeah, I'd hate to be a kid in this environment. We're raising a kid.
Childhood is supposed to be fun, fantasy, happiness, carefree. You don't need to look at pedophilia in your first grade textbook. What the hell? Like I say, this species is really forfeiting its right to even be on this planet. And if the controllers have their way, most of it won't be.
No. Nope.
We have also, I think many of you have heard us talk about Drs. Paul Merrick. We played many clips from Dr. Merrick and Dr. Pierre Corey. They have been in the forefront of trying to make people aware of their options, even though the law might say you have no right to give them ivermectin. They've promoted ivermectin. And hydrochloroquine as well. What happened to hydroxychloroquine? What happened to these two brave doctors? Tell us.
Well, sometime in the last week, after a two-year investigation, the American Board of Internal Medicine decided to renege their certification. Now, at first glance, that may not seem like much. You know, it's not the same as pulling their license. However, it does affect their ability to bill for insurance, to receive reimbursement through insurance providers and, I believe, Medicare, Medicaid. And it also will prevent them from accessing hospitals for, you know, surgical privileges or you know, whatever they want to do that would require the use of the facility. So sure. That hampers their, you know, what they can do in terms of practicing medicine. you know, they'll probably do okay without it, but it'll be difficult for a period of time.
It's a big slap in the face at the very least. They're still able to practice, but the certification is an important deal.
Well, and it sort of, you know, smears their reputation at first glance, because people are going to wonder, well, why are they not board certified anymore? What was their crime?
But I would suggest
their crime
you're right.
Was,
most people wouldn't even bother, though. They know these men. They know what they stand for. That's probably where all their patients come from, fortunately. Otherwise, they would be hampered. I think you're right.
Well, and they're just going to have to set up another means of billing for their services. And maybe they have already, you know, direct pay. I think a lot of physicians have had to do that anyway, since, you know, if they're stepping outside of the existing system, it'll be a cash-only, direct pay operation. Which may work out better in the end.
It might.
You know, you might more realistic pricing instead of this ridiculous insurance-based thing that it's so arbitrary.
I think
and inflated in some cases.
Aren't we the only country of note in the Western world that has this kind of an outrageous healthcare protocol, insurance, or die?
I think some of the socialist countries have privatized insurance if you want to pay for it, and you know, it'll get you a little bit better care or quicker care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But then there's always the option of going to someplace like Mexico, where, you know, the services are in many cases just as good. You know, do your homework there, but they're affordable. You can afford to pay cash.
Right. That's a good point. Even South America, in some cases, people are going down
anywhere
there too.
Anywhere but here, here you're not even guaranteed a good outcome anymore. But with all the shenanigans they're playing,
I wouldn't trust the system here at all, not at all. We've got it. They took away from us the awareness that our primary responsibility in life is to really ourselves, to maintain our health, take care of ourselves, educate ourselves, and why? So we'll be valuable assets to the larger group and not some needy black hole. If you are healthy, intelligent, and able, you know you can help other people, and they'll come to you for advice. So you kind of have an obligation to take care of yourselves. They don't want you to think like that. You get sick, you go to the doctor, right? You go to the doctor. You don't take care of yourself anymore.
Well,
fortunately,
that's been the brainwashing, though. That's how they exert their control, by disempowering people.
Yep. Let me take this opportunity to remind everyone out there, whether you're vaxxed or not, you need Allicin C every day, one capsule a day, is my humble recommendation. Bio Superfood every day. The two most incredibly important things, all natural, that you could ever do for your health, your baseline health, by way of supplementation. Your food that you eat is empty, hollow, useless, often toxified, and worse. And BioSuperfood, over 15,000 ingredients, nutrients, that your body never sees otherwise. Think about that. And then Allicin C, which has been called by many the most powerful broad-spectrum antibiotic on the planet. All natural. It's the active ingredient in garlic, not the odor. It doesn't make you smell like garlic. It's the allicin. It's a binary-produced element in garlic, and it's always triggered when there's a threat to the plant. Figured it out. People were eating garlic and getting better. So they finally did the work and found out it's the allicin in the garlic. And that has been stabilized and put in capsules. And it is phenomenal. And the reason I say one a day, each capsule has the equivalent of 30 cloves of organic garlic in it. The allicin from 30 cloves of organic garlic in each capsule. So you take that every day. And if you're vaxxed, you're injected, Your immune system is already severely compromised. I'll be polite. You need this to help any kind of bacterial or viral issue being dealt with appropriately and quickly by what's left of your immune system, which in many cases is next to nothing. And if you're not injected, you are around people who are carrying things because they are injected and their immune system is no longer the barrier it should be. So you don't want to be exposed to that. That's shedding in the classical sense. Then we have shedding in the spike protein sense and the mRNA sense, which I cannot promise you that Allison will help with. We don't have the clinical data, but I certainly would take it as a prophylactic issue, a precaution, just for the viral and bacterial issues it can address and does. I had somebody the other day having real serious pulmonary problems, couldn't breathing, kept making a kind of a weird raspy noise, and I gave this person, I had an extra bottle, I gave him some Allison C. 2 days later, that's all gone. It cleared it up. It's gone. He's fine. No more noises when he's breathing. So I anecdotally, I've got a lot of stories, but we won't go there. Just keep in mind that Allison C and BioSuperfood are the two most important things that I know that you should be taking as a baseline health building set of wonderful nutrients. So take those. All right. Now, anything else?
No, go ahead.
Harry Fisher. Set this up. I'm ready. Harry Fisher, the paramedic.
Okay, Harry Fisher is now a well-known paramedic. Has been working throughout the plandemic. Just did an interview with Steve Kirsch on the 15th or 14th, a day or two ago, with two other paramedics or EMTs. Actually, there was a third one in there as well from Los Angeles, two from New York, one from Los Angeles, and Harry. And they were recounting their experience of what happened to them. The two of them had to take the vaccine to keep their jobs, and both of them are now injured and wish they hadn't. It was about a two-hour interview. It's very good if you want to listen to the whole thing. It's Steve Kirsch's platform, Vaccine Safety Research Council. And so Harry doesn't pull any punches anymore, and kudos to him, because we need more people like him shouting about what they're seeing and driving the point home that we're being genocided. There's no question.
No question at all. If Harry weren't out there doing his job as a professional, which includes gaining as much information from patients, clients, whatever you want to call them, as you can to help you make a better judged assessment on their condition and what may or may not be suggested immediately. And, you know, it's very important to get as much as you can in terms of history from any patient that you're called to help. So Harry will often ask patients or their loved ones or friends, you know, has the individual here been injected? And that's a very critically important question. Some people are taking exception to that and really rather attacking Harry, saying you have no right to ask that. Well, he does have a right, and he has a responsibility to ask it, in our opinion, and we're very grateful that he is, because we're learning a lot. The feds are not going to tell us anything, but it's people like Harry Fisher from whom we are learning and picking up data.
Well, and he's bringing awareness to these people who are falling ill unexpectedly and maybe not connecting the dots. I mean, there are people out there that are sick and they don't know why they're sick, and they're not,
right.
They're literally not connecting it to the injections that they took.
To be honest, some of them don't want to.
Ago.
Some of them don't want to connect the dots. There's that.
Well, there's that, but there is just sheer ignorance about it as well. They were told these things were safe and effective. If they didn't have a reaction to them right away, they assumed they were fine.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right. Here's a little clip of that conversation with Harry Fisher, paramedic. Let's see what he says. Oh, Come on, Harry. This video is going to... Is it going to hang up on... All right. I'm going to have to reload the page. Sometimes it does that on X. If you don't start something quickly, it'll bounce you, or it puts you into a position of stasis. Here we go.
I ask about the vaccines. That's a part of my history that I'm going to gather. Like, if I'm going to ask you about smoking or drinking, I'm certainly going to ask you about an experiment that you took that has proven to be dangerous. Because it's proven to be dangerous. Even their own paperwork says, like, have you ever looked at 5.3.6 cumulative analysis of just the things that they sort of like, well, I mean, I guess it could happen. Like, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, that's 8 or 9 pages of crap. So I'm going to ask about this dangerous substance. I'm going to. And that ticks a lot of people off because they think I'm hard.
Oop, dropped out. Hold on.
Just to ask about it. Like, nurses here recently have thought I'm heartless to ask about the shots in grieving situations when a mom has lost their child. But if I don't ask, who's going to? Like, who's? And then if they ask me why are you asking about the COVID shots? Well, because we've seen a lot of deaths since the COVID shots have come out. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat reality for you. If I do, I'm no better than what we're fighting against. I've got to tell you the truth, and that's where we live. And a lot of these people, even our people that are fighting on our side, are still pretty brainwashed because they still freak out when you ask that question, which is amazing to me. It's mind boggling. You can have vaccine injured people that are still scared to ask the question. That means that this whole program that we're in when it comes to mind program, it's really strong. Like, they did a good job at messing with people's heads.
Yeah. I'm going to follow up with what you're talking about. And because I'm not an EMT, I'm not a firefighter. I've been in situations where I've needed help. So, and I've been asked some health questions about, this is before 2020. And so I don't, you know, VSRF or I, we don't take a position one way or another, but just playing devil's advocate, could it exacerbate a situation, any of these questions that might be asked, and add to their trauma that they're existing? Is there a reason not to, other than what you're saying?
I mean, the same way that saying, like, whenever someone's dying of cancer, did you smoke, or did anyone in your household smoke? Does that exacerbate the situation? The only reason that this would exacerbate the situation is because the shots have been so politicized. They've been that we are being told it's taboo. Shh, don't say anything. Hey, that uncle raped you? Don't say anything about the uncle during Thanksgiving. No, I'm going to talk about the uncle because he's a douchebag. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring it up. You're not allowed to rape the entire country and the world, and good people should be talking about it. We should be, at the very least right now, bringing it up. I'm not going to push that under the rug. You're not allowed to get a pass from me. You've tried to take my job. You've tried to give me an experiment, and I'm watching you kill children. You don't get a pass from me.
Good job. That's the kind of
Bravo.
Courageous... pragmatic intellect we need on the front lines. He's right on the money.
Yep. It's nice to see that.
Oh, it is encouraging in these times of very little of that, so for sure. Now, you're monitoring the emergency services. Is there any change in what you're hearing about? I guess things are busy again, huh? What are you hearing?
They have been busier, yeah. Yeah, but it's more of the same. It's people having seizures, trouble breathing, falls. That's about seizures. Yeah, possible heart attacks.
Right.
Possible strokes, falls.
Right. They don't give
a car accident.
It's interesting when you hear dispatch talking to a firehouse
vague.
Yes. It's almost as if they're, since they give out the address of the afflicted party, there are people listening who will instantly look up, you know, a map service on their computer and find out where that is and who it is. So they have to be careful. When I used to monitor these things, they would give out rather elaborate parameters of the situation that the paramedics were being dispatched to go and assist in. Same with firefighters and regular fire trucks and so forth. But they don't do that anymore now. Just
well, I would say some towns or cities are more descriptive than others, and I don't know. Maybe when the call comes in, they don't have a lot of information to go off of.
It's part of it. Part of it. I've heard a lot of them that would fit that profile. But then I've heard others that just say, medical emergency, that's it, nothing else. So anyway,
I guess you find out when you get there.
Yeah, that's you'd think that you'd want to give them as much information as they can possibly have before they get there, so they'll know what to expect. But anyhow, so for all of you paramedics and firefighters out there, keep it up. You're doing great work, and we really appreciate you. There is talk now that if this society crashes like a lot of people think it may, there won't be any response to 9/11 calls anymore.
Well, you know, during this interview that Harry did with Steve Kirsch and these other paramedics, they talked about how what types of bare bones coverage they actually had at certain points as a result of, you know, the employees refusing the vaccine until it became absolutely mandatory, and what could happen if they try to force these things on these employees again. You know, most of them probably won't take it because they're already injured, or they've seen what's happening with them. And yeah, it's really an eye opener to listen to them recount what really happened.
It's also an eye opener to watch the World Health Organization and the ever compliant Zionist media in this country and the government go right along with the building of the avian influenza danger. And how it's in cattle now, and we need to check every head of beef, so to speak, every week to see if they've been exposed to avian influenza. Well, in the meantime, if you remember, they introduced the monkeypox fear porn game, it was over a year ago. Well, they brought back monkeypox now, and the World Health Organization has declared a first stage alert, danger, warning alert for Africa, in terms of the new variant of monkeypox, which is highly fatal. So they're setting us up. Will it be monkeypox? Will it be avian flu? Will it be some kind of a hemorrhagic variant of a virus? I don't know. But they're getting ready to try it again. I think that's pretty clear. There are articles about, well, such and such can manufacture over 10 million doses of monkeypox vaccine within, you know, the next month. So they're all lining up. They're all drooling at the trough. It's all money. But for the people, it's going to be worse than just money, because they're going to be looking at, in all likelihood, another mRNA product being injected into them. And that's not what we want.
No.
All right. So here we go. Our next one. mRNA vaccines in animals and food supply. All right. This is interesting. Now, I don't have a timestamp yet on this one.
Well, so we've got a couple options. We've got a few speakers here. This was from the FLCCC weekly webinar on Wednesday night. And the topic is the use of mRNA vaccines in food. Primarily cattle, pigs, whatever other animals that they want to raise for slaughter. And there's a scientist speaking here. She goes into some detail on how a self-amplifying vaccine works. It's probably more technical than most people want to listen to at this point.
I have that at 20 minutes and 48. You want to run that for a few and then just... we'll jump from there?
Yeah, we could. Or we can just jump to, let's see, I've got a timestamp here, 33:53, where she's finished talking about it. And I think more important for this audience would be, you know, what does it mean for us? Is the food supply safe right now? Is it at risk in the future? What do we need to do to protect ourselves? So there's some good commentary on that.
All right. This is Dr. Karina Acevedo Whitehouse. She's a professor, doctor at a very prestigious Mexico.
You're going to play the her scientific explanation? Is that what you're queued up for?
I've jumped up to 3350.
Oh, 3350 there. All right. So she's finished, and the gentleman who's going to talk is a one of the FLCCC senior fellows. They've now assembled a group of scientists and doctors to work on their board, and he's one of them. But he's very tied into the cattlemen's Farmers Association are trying to advocate for preventing the use of these vaccines in animals. So that's what you're going to hear right now.
So the idea would be that animals for food are targeted with mRNA vaccines with the full knowledge that in many cases the mRNA vaccine is going to certainly survive slaughter, preparation, purchase, and consumption by people. That's what I'm getting here.
Well, the real concern is particularly if they go with this self-amplifying one, which he goes into some detail explaining how it works and
that means
how
self-replicating, everybody. It means it'll reproduce itself.
Yeah, and so
itself.
It keeps copying itself. And there's, you know, as if this mRNA, modified mRNA, isn't bad enough, this thing just keeps going. And so the risk is to the animal, that the animal will never actually shut it off. It'll just keep telling the body to produce this protein, whatever it is. It may or may not be it won't be spike unless it's for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but it could be another antigen unique to a particular virus that's a threat to that animal. But we don't know what is the biological activity of that protein. What is the antigenic potential? I mean, people have problems with gluten, so they have to go out of their way to avoid foods with gluten. Well, gluten is a protein that a lot of people have, I would even argue that most people have a sensitivity to in at some level. And so we're going to be putting these types of proteins into animals rather indiscriminately, and people are going to eat them. And, you know, 70% of your immune system is in the gut. So, you know, the microbes see this protein, they're going to instruct your body as to how to react to it. And, we just don't know. It hasn't been studied.
And it won't,
as
it won't
we've
be
seen
studied
with these
for
mRNA
some time, they're going to roll this out under EUA or whatever. It doesn't matter.
It's set up to go. And I would just argue that the bigger concern, the mRNA or self-amplifying mRNA, and it goes by many different names. They've got a multitude of euphemisms for it.
That's trickery.
It's to, I guess, take attention off of what it really is. But it's the protein that these animals are being instructed to produce. Proteins can be biologically active. They can be immune system irritants. They can be immune system suppressants. And without studying it, we're not going to know. We're just assuming that it's innocuous, that it's not going to do any harm. And it's a wild assumption. And
very wild.
If it has any sort of prion potential, you know, the cooking's not going to get rid of it.
No, 1,200 degrees minimum. That's what you need.
Well, who's barbecuing their meat for that long?
No, or that temperature. It doesn't happen.
Right.
No, this is all bad. If you see mRNA involved with anything, run.
And this gentleman here, I forget his name. It's probably on the
Dr. Miller.
Okay, he's arguing for labeling because right now we are importing meat from other countries that is not labeled as such. If any part of the meat is processed here in this country, it can be labeled as made in the USA. When in fact it may have originated in countries that are already using mRNA.
Right.
So we have no way of knowing.
None. All right, let's take a listen to Dr. Brooke Miller. Here we go.
understand, this technology is widely used in pigs, correct?
Yeah, I don't know how many other countries in the world, but at least in their webpage, it says that those are the countries that have already authorized.
And then so, you also mentioned in cats, so it's also used in pets to a certain extent?
I wasn't able to find evidence that it's used commercially in pets, and I really tried to find it. So if they are doing it, it's definitely under the radar. This was more of a sort of experimental self-amplifying vaccine that they tried to do in the context of COVID, because you see that they were saying that cats could also transmit it, or, you know, all the things that were said, which have absolutely no basis. But that's the context in which this paper was published. But as I said, I haven't found any evidence that dog vaccines, cat vaccines, rabbit vaccines, anything like that, has this type of technology. But it's likely that that's what they're going to push for, because it's much cheaper and they can really create it very fast. I mean, we're talking of less than 100 days in order to create it. Well, of course, all you need is a sequence. That's it. But the consequences can be terrible.
And then do they use something like this in poultry?
Again, it doesn't say that they do, but I would be very surprised if they don't start looking into that.
Okay. Thank you. And now Brooke can tell us how hard he's been fighting for this not to happen in the United States in the cattle industry. Right, Brooke?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell us about some of the initiatives that you guys have taken on and everything, all the hard work you've been doing to make sure that this doesn't happen. One of the things that I've learned from Beef Initiative people is know your cow. So it's really important for people to know exactly what we're eating, where it's coming from.
And I've never heard that expression before.
Know your cow.
Know your cow. That's good. All right. Well, you do need to know where your cow came from before it decided to give
now.
Its life to serve your gustatory palate joys. Here we go.
Kind of addressed that in your labeling video that we did at the beginning. So can you talk to us a little bit about what's happening in the United States with the food supply and specifically cattle?
Certainly. The food supply in the United States is under attack. We call it a war on cattle, a war on the American rancher, and we feel it's all about control. The big globalists, they want to control the food supply, and if they can run our individual cattle ranchers out of business, which they have been successfully doing for decades, we now have fewer cattle in the United States than any time since 1948. We're a net importer of meat. It seems like most of the major policy decisions that have happened in our bureaucracy are basically anti-small farm and rancher. We have a saying, control the food, control the people. If they can keep rural America from supplying a safe and abundant food supply, then they can control people. Hungry people will be compliant people. Things that I'm involved with, United States Cattlemen's Association, just night before last, we passed a resolution that I have been working on condemning mRNA use in livestock and food animals in the United States. I've also been involved with a couple state legislatures to try to get this legislation passed as well. We feel as though the American public and the public in general will reject this. As a physician and a cattle rancher, people know I'm both, and I get this question all the time about, is there mRNA in our food supply, and how do we go about making sure there's no mRNA in our food supply? This is going to be rejected overwhelmingly by the public. It already has been. Unfortunately, the captured government agencies and big pharma continue to push it for profits. And it's a scary thing, because what happens if this does get in our food supply and people don't know it? I treat patients on a daily basis. I get a lot of new patients because of our stance on medical freedom and informed consent. And the biggest things that I see in our population, in the new patient population that I have coming in, when I ask them, did you receive the COVID mRNA vaccine? And if they didn't, I congratulate them and tell them it's one of the greatest decisions that they ever made in their life. And if they did, about 99% of them say, yes, I was forced to, and I wish I hadn't. The boosters are being overwhelmingly rejected by our population, and animal health better wake up, because they're going to overwhelmingly reject this technology if it gets into our food supply. And that's a huge reason for Truth in Labeling, the United States Cattlemen's Association's policy resolution called for all data and studies to be completely transparent and reviewed by independent scientists with no conflict of interest. And before that, I mean, before it even gets approved in this country, but if it is eventually approved, which I hope it doesn't, but if it's eventually approved, then we call for fair, for transparent labeling and informed consent, both at the level of the administration of the vaccine and also at the grocery store. It has to be clearly labeled, and I think that would basically kill it, because it's completely unpopular.
So, Brooke, actually, some people missed the beginning, and I do want you to talk a little bit about that labeling, because when you go to like Walmart or different grocery stores, it might say that it's United States meat, but it's actually not. It's coming from somewhere else. So can you explain that one, what's happening there? And are there any states that actually have pushed back? I know Representative Massey has had several bills where he's trying to change some of these things, but I don't think any states have done much work on that.
No, unfortunately, since beef is shipped across state lines so easily here, I mean, I think that's a good thing, but unfortunately, an individual state can't do a whole lot on the labeling issue. That's a national issue. In 2015, the World Trade Organization ruled against the United States and made country of origin labeling, mandatory country of origin labeling of food in our stores illegal, or they basically said that they were going to award retaliatory tariffs.
And so, how can that be, that it's illegal to put the country of origin on a label, on a product that you're being asked to buy and eat? This is really nuts.
Congress folded immediately, and the Obama administration signed that into law. And like I said in the presentation, that our cattle markets dropped 40% within weeks. And interestingly, this was done because it was allegedly harming the markets of Canada and Mexico. But it wasn't. It was actually helping the markets in Canada and Mexico, because their markets dropped along with ours. What it helped was the big multinational packers who have the monopolies, and their profit margins went through the roof, and ranchers in both all these countries continue to go out of business. It then reverted to an old law that said beef in our grocery stores can carry the label of product of the USA if it is significantly transformed within our borders. And the definition of significant transformation, again, words matter. But in this case, words don't matter, because all they consider significant transformation is repackaging or slicing the meat, and then it can be labeled product of the USA. So we...
Okay, all they have to do is slice it or repackage it. This government doesn't care about us. Come on.
No.
Nothing. Nothing is done that would counter that statement. They're making it easier now to perpetrate food fraud of all kinds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I still think somebody ought to put together an app, so when you go into the store and you do try to read labels occasionally, and I don't see many people doing it, but some do, that you can actually type in the name of an ingredient on the label that you don't understand what it is, and it'll give you a definition of that particular ingredient, what it does, the dangers involved. You have a right to know that. But I've told the story before. When I was a kid, I used to eat Hostess cupcakes and Twinkies occasionally. You know, as a little kid. Those were the days when there were six or seven ingredients per product. Now, I saw them in a store, and I bought two Hostess cupcakes and two Twinkies. And I counted, and I can't remember the exact number, but in each case, I remember one of them had over 50 different ingredients, and the other one had over 60 different ingredients. And I couldn't even pronounce most of them. They were just names.
Yeah, it's all chemicals.
All of it. And I'm telling you, you don't want to eat anything like that. Don't do it. You have to be your own best friend. You know your cow. You have to know your product. You need to read those labels. Anyhow, I think that's pretty much it for him, unless you want to play some more. I think we got it.
Yeah, let's see. Where are you at for time?
41, 42.
Oh, okay, good. 42. Bump it up to 56:33, and there's a short part where somebody asks about shedding.
Good. Ready. And here we go.
But it's a wealth of information.
Second to last question for Dr. Acevedo. Do you believe in shedding of prions?
Do I believe? What a strange phrasing. I don't think that science is about belief. I think it's about the evidence, and the evidence shows that at least for the vector-based flex genes, sort of like AstraZeneca type, there is quite a lot of evidence of shedding, and that has been documented. There actually, if you go into the FDA website for each of these products that's based on the same adenoviruses, not the vaccines, but other products that are exactly the same in their function, they talk about shedding. So yeah, we know that. In terms of the mRNA products, there have been a couple of publications that show that it's possible to find the synthetic mRNA or the protein in bodily secretions. So
mRNA and the spike protein is what she's saying, in bodily secretions. That's a handshake. That's a kiss on the cheek. That's a wet kiss. That's direct contact.
So yeah, up to as far as those publications, there is evidence that it occurs, definitely.
Okay, I think she's being very professional and rather polite. It was in 2024, in August, someone's actually asking that question. Well, that just tells you that the rank and file out there, they still don't know, because they look at the screen and the screen doesn't tell them. Mainstream media will lie to them forever. Not going to stop. So yeah, there's tons of evidence to sustain the danger and risk of shedding.
Still people that don't. They're resisting the idea of it. They don't think that they're affected by it.
Anyone
you can be affected and not have symptoms.
None. Anyone who's listened to this program for any length of time is should be very well grounded in the reality and danger of shedding. That's why we implore you to consider wearing a mask when you go into any mixed environment of different people's shopping, stores, whatever. They are shedding, and not just through their skin, exhalation every time. And this doctor, Dr. Whitehouse, indicated that both the mRNA and the protein, the spike, are being shed. And we know that. We know that. Dr. Stephanie Seneff said that both mRNA and the spike are being shed. So look, the documentation is there. It's up to you people to make decisions for yourselves. It's not up to us. But for goodness sake, take this very seriously.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, anything else
in
this particular video? What was that? What was that cue? 50, what was it?
5633.
The one we just did? Yeah. I kind of want to play that again. It's only 2 minutes. It's very good. This doctor is new to us. She's an FLCCC senior fellow, Dr. Karina Acevedo Whitehouse. Obviously top tier. Excellent.
But it's a wealth of information.
Question.
Second to last question for Dr. Acevedo. Do you believe in shedding of prions?
Do I believe? What a strange phrasing. I don't think that science is about belief. I think it's about the evidence, and the evidence shows that at least for the vector-based vaccines, sort of like AstraZeneca type, there is quite a lot of evidence of shedding, and that has been documented. There actually, if you go into the FDA website for each of these products that's based on the same adenoviruses, not the vaccines, but other products that are exactly the same in their function, they talk about shedding. So yeah, we know that. In terms of the mRNA products, there have been a couple of publications that show that it's possible to find the synthetic mRNA or the protein and or the protein in bodily secretions. So yeah, up to as far as those publications, there is evidence that it occurs, definitely.
By secretions, that's saliva, spit, sweat, urine, anything, okay? So somehow the mRNA, and we can imagine how the spike would be being dumped, spread, shed, but the mRNA instruction packets are being spread, shed as well. Very bad news. Think about it.
Yeah, you want to be careful. And don't forget, we have another vaccine campaign coming up end of this month, probably.
Two, 3 weeks, September. The September rollout of the new, better than ever, COVID vaccines. Yeah, God only knows what they've put in this new
version. The variant that already went by.
Oh, this is the, they're targeting what, Delta? What was it, the last one?
No, I think it's JN1 or something.
Oh, yes,
I don't
that's
know.
Right.
It's irrelevant.
The barn door is open, the horses have run, and they're putting out a new vax to take care of that problem. But this is insane.
I believe that RSV, that mRNA RSV, is being given now.
To
in
people.
Some places. Yes, to people. That Moderna one for RSV was approved, and I think it's in distribution now.
Don't tell me for children, please. Oh. They're trying to kill humanity. Get it?
Above.
You get it? Y'all get it now, don't you? This is no joke. This is genocide. This is really what's happening. This is just some kind of rationale.
I don't know any other way to look at it.
There's no other way, no. If we haven't made that clear, and we've been doing this in our fourth year now, there's nothing we've made clear. This is genocide. And the number of deaths is being very effectively suppressed, quashed by the mainstream media and the so-called federal department of this or that. You choose. Little Mandy Cohen, right, and the CDC, they're going to lie. They lie all the time. The FDA lies. They all lie. All of them lie.
Well, all of those agencies have been weaponized. It's that simple.
Perfect word. Yes. And it's not going to change. It's going to get worse. And I just really wonder if they, the world elite who control this country and everything in it, the same old people, if they've decided to install the camel and waltz in the White House, these hardcore communist perverts, we're gone. I don't see that as survivable as a nation, as a country. Now, if they install Trump, at least we can put on the face that we're doing things that are for the Constitution, for the people, for the constitutional republic in which we live. We would hope. But Trump, make no mistake, is completely compromised. So is Vance. They all are. Or they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And those same people, the controllers, are going to win no matter which way it plays out.
These
are incredible times. All right. Anything you want to add? We're just about out of time here. And that was, again, more interesting information. And thanks to Harry Fisher. If you're listening, Harry, or your friends tell you, we really support you. Our listeners support you. Keep at it. And we need people like you.
Definitely.
Lots of them.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. Thank you, young lady.
Okay.
My pleasure. Your chair is still there in the corner for you.
I'll go back to it now.
Good night.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. We shall take a break and come right back. Next hour, we're going to Las Vegas. Talk to Gary Holland and find out what's on his plate. All right, another hour to go. Be right back.